Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod, where we talk to all the interesting people of the San Luis Valley. Joining us today in our studio on the south side of Alamosa is Nick Sines, Assistant Vice President of Academic Affairs at Adams State, and Maya Turkile Miller. We're going to talk about the upcoming Rio Grande State of the Basin Symposium, Saturday, March 30th, the sixth annual
State of the Basin.
Adams State has to feel good about starting this symposium 6 years ago and continuing it. 2024 looks like it's got shelf life.
Yeah, and in many ways, this is the brainchild of Rio de la Vista, who was formerly the director of the Salazar Rio Grande del Norte Center. And so it's been a nice tradition that we've been able to continue with her now in retirement, but still very much a part of what the Salazar Center does. It's really, in many ways, a continuation of that good work.
You know, Maya, they pulled you in to help coordinate and get this year's symposium put together. Tell us how that happened, and then take us through an initial part of the agenda and what that looks like and what we're going to hear on March 30th.
Yes, Nick asked me, because I'm the instructor for Water 101. I'm actually, in real life, I'm a crop consultant. So we got together in November, I think, and discussed, you know, what the theme should be. Last year it was the future of water. Mm-hmm. And Nick had sent me a video that I very much enjoyed called Acequias, The Legacy Lives On. And so we thought, you know, it's good to visit history in order to see where we're going forward. So that we decided that the theme should be challenges within the basin and kind of the perspectives from different people, and then how that fits in with what's coming up.
You know, so I really like that is coming in, and you have a film and a presentation, Acequias, The Legacy Lives On. You're showing that at 9 a.m. on the morning of March 30th at Richardson Hall. What about that film that drew you into wanting to show it as part of the symposium?
Well, I'm a little bit biased as a historian, right? I obviously think history right. is important to share, but the Acequias story is really unique in the world of water and the history of water. I think it also links us in really significant ways to New Mexico, right? So when we think about sort of the larger reach of the Rio Grande, not just in our neck of the woods, but all the way south into New Mexico, and of course, eventually into Texas and Mexico, some of the lifeways and traditions that are so tied to New Mexico are obviously part of life here in the San Luis Valley. And so this gives us an opportunity to really reflect on those connections across the basin.
You know, that's an interesting thread and connection that Adams State is making with this year's symposium, because, as we know, March 20th, U.S. Supreme Court is going to hear oral arguments about a settlement between Texas, New Mexico, that the federal government's objecting to. And you see communities along the Rio Grande and how they're faring, the Middle Pueblo Indian tribes that are there in New Mexico. What's your sense of how communities, human beings, people, irrigators are faring these days along the Rio Grande?
You know, when I came to the Valley, it was very clear from the very beginning that water is such an important part of life here, right? It's one of the things that binds people from very different backgrounds and experiences and day-to-day work. Obviously, as we see more and more scarcity, right? Lower levels on the Rio Grande, which has implications for our ability to continue farming and raising livestock and having urban communities, water's a real concern, right? And the future of water, which is sort of the theme for last year, I think invited us to reflect on that a little bit. But thinking about the history there too, it's not a new problem, right? There's always been various ways in which water has been at threat. But I think what we're looking at today are, in some ways, very new and different sort of challenges, right? We can't make the sky rain that much more, and we're dealing with larger population pressures, certainly here in the Valley, you know, thinking about RWR last year. Mm-hmm. It's very much tied to the growth of communities outside of the Valley, but that's putting pressure on communities that are very old, very tied to a way of life in Colorado and New Mexico. that are having to confront and adapt to all of these changes in recent time. And we're probably going to have to think more and more about the legal implications and the social implications of what that will mean for a lot of these communities. As you know, we have an El Paso connection.
Right.
My family lives in El Paso, so every year I drive down 25 to Texas, and I drive along the Rio, and I see sections where it is dry, where it has gone full bone dry, and you can walk across it without getting your feet wet, and that is a real tragedy. Certainly, being on the Colorado side of the river, we're at the headwaters, right? So we get to hold back water that doesn't make its way south. But I think the Supreme Court case and all of the conversations there really elevate this question, this conversation around what are we going to be doing here in the next few generations as more and more pressure comes to the Rio Grande.
You know, and I want to get Maya your perspective on that, because you've done a lot of work, as you mentioned, with agriculture. Your daughter is doing a lot of really interesting work in the farming area. But before we go there, because I think it's a nice transition, your keynote speaker is David Robbins for this year's symposium. How perfect is that?
I am so incredibly honored.
Explain who he is.
That he accepted.
Yeah, the timing is perfect.
Right. Well, David Robbins, I think most of the water community would say, we know who David Robbins is, and I would say he's probably the top water attorney in the Western U.S.
Mm-hmm.
He's been involved in the Rio Grande Basin back since the days of AWDI, and with a new generation of water, what would you call them, water people.
Right.
I think it's good to revisit AWDI, and so we discussed that would be a really great keynote. To talk about the history of water grabs, because we're currently, you know, facing another wave of water grabs, I guess.
Well, you know, what I like again about the timing, you know, is that March 20th oral arguments before the U.S. Supreme Court, in hearing Mr. Robbins explain that case, or explain, I'm sure he's going to listen in to those oral arguments. I know I am, but I really need him, though, to explain it. Because he does
Me
a great
too.
Job. I mean, that water law is not simple or easy. I mean, it's centuries in the making.
And he's a superb speaker. I mean, he's just very clear and
very direct.
Yep.
I'll be honest with you. He will tell you like it is.
Yeah.
He won't, you know, and I really enjoy, and I've listened to him several times.
So I told him he had to do double duty, because he's part of the compact discussion, and he will also be the keynote speaker.
Yeah, so that's the timing on that is really perfect, Nick.
Absolutely, yeah, we're excited about that. We had our event a little bit later last year in May, and we were excited to move it up because it does work really well with the timing.
Well, his title on one of his speeches, you know, on his keynote is History and Context, the Rio Grande Compact. Again, how good timing is that for Adam State, and how fortunate is that to have him coming in here to Richardson Hall to give us that explanation, to give us that context and perspective.
Yeah.
That centuries-old compact.
Yep.
What else do you see? I want to go back to those in communities along the Rio Grande and get your perspective, Maya, because I know you've seen that film, Acequias, The Legacy Lives On. I know you've done work there. How do you think communities along the Rio Grande are faring these days?
Well, you know, I wanted to revisit Acequias, I guess, because we had recent legislation in Colorado that put Acequias into our water law with Ed Vigil and the various Acequias that are on the Rio Grande.
Right.
They all passed, I can't remember what it's called, Title VII or something. So we have Arnie Valdez is going to address that a little bit.
Interesting.
And he is currently working on a project, putting a history together of the Acequias of the Rio Grande in Colorado. So that fit kind of nicely after the film. Arnie is a architect, and he has a farm called Resolana Farm, where they do some innovative solar and construction projects and educational events, and he's also an Acequia member. but the real, what really got me excited is I tried to find a speaker to address legislation in New Mexico.
Right.
And it's called Prior and Paramount Water. And I kept going through different avenues. I got a hold of John Fleck, who is a writer that wrote Water is for fighting for, fighting over?
Over fighting.
Yeah, right. It's fight for fighting over and other myths. And he was wonderful. But he said, you know, I'm not qualified for that. So
he would be.
I think he would too, but maybe the next symposium we can have him talk about something. So he directed me to the director of the UTAM Center at UNM, which is the Water Law Center. And his name's Adrian Oglesby.
Uh-huh.
And then he had a conflict because that's his acequia cleaning day. So he referred me to a bunch of attorneys. And then he said, you know, the best person that you could find is Phoebe Suina. And she's from the San Felipe and Cochiri Pueblo. And I had read about her in an article in High Country News that came out in January of 2022 about the waterback movement and the situation with the Pueblos on the Rio Grande. So
I find that, again, as you're talking about that, and I just find the timing and the speakers, what's being featured at the 6th Annual State of the Rio Symposium, I find it all just so relevant to today. And I'll tell you another reason why when you're talking about the Middle Pueblo Indians and their call 2-3 years ago to have a seat at the table with the Rio Grande Compact, right? Because they want to have a voice of that compact as it goes through New Mexico to make sure they're getting their share of appropriated water for their purposes. And so there's another connection on how relevant, Nick, this year's symposium is. I mean, kudos to you guys.
Yeah, thank you. That was a really significant moment, I think, in time. And the meeting was here in Alamosa for the compact meeting. The tribes basically said, hey, we want a seat at the table, which has potentially very far-reaching implications for the interpretation of the compact, right? So when we think about prior rights around water, who has a more old and distant right than the tribes who haven't historically been as involved as they are currently. And so we could see some evolution around water law in the coming years, particularly with this question of what role do the tribes have to play? And of course, in New Mexico, there are many federally recognized tribes who have a lot to say. And so potentially very big implications for water here in the valley as well.
Yeah, really relevant topic there. And you know, there's also legislation being proposed by New Mexico legislators looking at that compact and how it's managed. And that's another interesting conversation when you look at Congress and what they may do or not in terms of re-looking or re-examining at that compact in New Mexico and how it fits in. So you just have all these really interesting ties and connections, Maya, to that symposium and what you have put together there. Go ahead. And then I just wanted
to follow up a little bit on Phoebe Suina, because Adrian Oglesby at the UTAM Center told me she would be the best person to have, but she won't have time because she owns a company that is an environmental consulting company, 100% Native American, called High Water Mark LLC. And she herself is an engineer and a hydrologist. And I think I was so honored when she said, yes. We will have to Zoom in, unfortunately. I haven't told you this, Nick, with her, because that happens to be Easter weekend.
Yes.
And she is very involved in many community events and committees in the Pueblos. So she's going to be kind of busy.
Well, this is the first time, too, that I've seen the full agenda, and I have to say that now I'm having difficulty looking at this and saying that's what I really want to see, because when I look at your agenda, there's a lot in there that I want to make sure I hear or listen to. So let me ask you, when you look at the agenda, what is it that you're anticipating or you want to hear most, because it's packed?
Well, now I want to step back and listen.
Right.
Yeah, this is all so... Well, new and old, and I think it's going to be very exciting.
Yeah. What about you, Nick? I mean, there's a lot in here. And for you as a historian and someone that studies and knows this corridor as well as anyone, I mean, Acequias, David Robbins, the film, you have Phoebe coming in. I don't know where to go.
We haven't mentioned also Cleve Simpson will be giving a legislative update, as is customary at these events.
And he's on the panel also.
He's also on one of the panels. Yeah. So, of course, our state senator. So some updates on what's happening at the state level with implications for water in the valley and statewide. So that'll be an important part of the conversation as well. I like the fact that we have some panels, and so that'll be a nice kind of dynamic, interactive opportunity for folks to also ask some questions and hopefully get their mysteries addressed.
And we have Nathan Coombs, who's on the Colorado Water Conservation Board.
Really good to listen to Nathan. He really explains things well. Yeah. So you have some really nice guests. We should also note that because we were talking about the Rio Grande Compact Commission in El Paso, and that's happening this year on April 26th. So you have the symposium. We get context perspective about the Rio Grande. We get context perspective about the Middle Tribes, about life, about the Acequias. We get context perspective from David Robbins about the March 20th oral arguments, all before the actual compact meetings in El Paso, Texas. That's why, I mean, the timing is really, really well this year.
Yeah, I think it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, me too. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is the Valley Pod.
Do you have an idea that could make life in Bonavista even better? Maybe it's new chemistry equipment that will inspire high school students, or medical kits that will help police officers respond to emergencies, or maybe it's transforming a former church into a new community art space. Every day, Monta Vista locals are making their community better with a little support from the Lore Foundation. To share an idea and learn how Lore can help, contact Yvette Atencio at ivette@lorefoundation.org.
Hey, we're back. We're talking to Nick Sines. He's Assistant Vice President for Academic Affairs at Adams State, and we're with Maya Turkile Miller. She's 101 Water 101 at Adams State. How's that minor program, which is another program Rio de la Vista helped put in place? How is that going, Water 101, seeing students coming in there, community, it's a minor, and how are you enjoying that, Maya?
Oh, I love teaching that class, but we'd like to see a few more Adams students attend the class. It's open to the community,
mm-hmm.
and so we have quite a few community members that attend the class, but I think we need to promote that the whole water studies minor a lot better. Currently, Water 201 is being taught by Kevin Boyles at Division of Water Resources, and he is so qualified to teach that because his degree is in water law. And then, Nick, you teach water equity.
Yeah, I've taught a history class called Water and Equity, and I kind of looked at the different ways in which people have built societies around water, more from a historical lens. So a really fun program to teach in. I think Maya's correct. We definitely want to grow the student enrollment. So if there are folks out there interested in Adams State and curious about how they can learn about water at Adams State, I'd love to have conversations with them. And certainly in addition to students, community members are definitely welcome to take part. So we'll be offering Water 101 again next fall, 2024, and hopefully more offerings as we get a new director in place for the Salazar Center.
It's a really good program that Adams State's offering, that Water 101 and that minor and the explanation and context you get to water and the importance of it here for the Valley and across the Rio Grande. I would say from a student promotion, you might want to look up those students from New Mexico that are on campus, because I'm sure they would learn a lot about New Mexico and their ties to the Rio Grande and water there. Let me ask you this in that Water 101, because it's going to come up here at the symposium, because your noon keynote address, your luncheon, is titled Historical Water Grab Schemes in the Rio Grande Basin. Is that part of Water 101 lectures or conversations? And
I would say yes. Yeah. We do cover, you know, AWDI, which happened back in the 80s. Right now, of course, we have renewable water resources, attempting to export water to Douglas County. So it's going to be amazing to revisit that during the symposium.
So you have David Robbins coming in to talk about that. I also note that we have President Tanberg is going to be part of that luncheon and keynote address and part of that agenda. Why did you select historical water grab schemes in the Upper Rio Grande Basin? I know the time of RWR, et cetera, but from a historical perspective, what is it that you are hoping that portion of the agenda gets across to the audience?
For me, you know, we have a whole new generation of water leaders that weren't part of that AWDI situation, and they are facing renewable water resources as an issue and a challenge in the basin. And sometimes if you visit history, you get enlightenment. You know, yeah. you understand how you should approach a new problem.
And I would add, I think a lot of folks, when they heard about RWR, imagine this was kind of the first time that anything like this had happened before. And in fact, no, right? There was a backstory, a prehistory to that. And so I think the story of AWDI raises that question of, well, if not now, when? Certainly we were successful in this most recent challenge with RWR, but they're probably almost inevitably going to be future challenges. Yeah. And so understanding the context of what played out in the late 80s, what played out more recently, will prepare us in the future to confront whatever challenge might be on the horizon.
Yeah, one of the things that's interesting, again, making a connection to your agenda and to the topics you're bringing out when it comes to the state of the Rio Grande and the symposium on March 30th, and that's the connection to Cleve Simpson in the state legislature when you think of RWR, because when you look at where that's going, there's conversations about using the legislature as a way to create a fix to allow for those types of exportations. RWR is coming at it now from a legislative perspective. How can they get support in the Colorado legislature for these types of projects? And their argument being that it shouldn't just be the Rio Grande, that we have to look at the water for the state of Colorado as a whole.
Correct.
Not just to protect and let the San Luis Valley keep their water when the state of Colorado should be able to tap into that for their own needs. And is there a legislative fix there, right? That's where Cleve Simpson comes in.
Well, and in addition to that, you know, as general manager for the Rio Grande Water Conservation District, he has a deep understanding of I'm going to be blunt here, the ridiculousness of exporting water out of a very tight water situation.
Yeah, no, that's, so again, timeliness, relevance to the state of the basin, what's actually happening today on the ground, and this year's symposium seems to be hitting every relevant note out there, Nick.
We're trying to check all the boxes, so to speak, yeah.
Yeah, your agenda's set up well. I want to note that the symposium starts at 8 a.m. on March 30th, and then I'm going to ask Nick to take us through that schedule and what not to miss. I mean, it's going to be, you're going to want to be there all day or all half a day up till 1:30.
Yeah, and so I'll note here as well, we are offering breakfast, so join us early at 8 a.m. That'll be breakfast in the Richardson Hall atrium. Richardson Hall, of course, is the main administration building at Adams State, the building with the white cupola on it and the columns out in front. So we'll start off with a breakfast for folks to kind of socialize and get to know some of their community members as well, and then we'll have a welcome and introductions from President Tanberg and the legislative report from Cleve Simpson, 8:30 to 9. And then at 9, we'll move into the film that was mentioned earlier, Acequia's The Legacy Lives On. So that'll be from 9 to 10.
And on that one, you have the filmmaker from University of New Mexico, Araceli Chapa, coming in for this.
Yes, and she said, you know, it's a fairly long film, and so she will be available during the breaks and at any other time for questions and answers, because I don't know that It's a pretty tight schedule. I don't know we'll have much time for that.
So. Yeah, no, it's a, I'm wondering about that. You are packing in a lot of
It's a busy
content.
Morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep going.
So after the film, we'll have Arnie Valdez. He'll be talking about the Rio Grande Acequias of Colorado, right? So bringing the story back to the upper portion of the Rio. And then we do have a break. It is a jam-packed schedule, but we do have a break from 10:30 to 10:45. So folks will have an opportunity to step out and use the restroom and what have you. And then we'll keep going from 10:45 to 11:10. We have a history and context panel that'll involve David Robbins, Nathan Coombs. The moderator will be Cleve Simpson. And then from there, we'll move into an update on the ongoing lawsuit between the Compact states. So if you're particularly curious about the Compact story from about 10:45 to 11:30, we'll be exploring that topic. And then the last half hour before we switch gears to the keynote, 11:30 to noon, we'll have Phoebe Suino, who we mentioned is at High Watermark LLC from Cochiti Pueblo and San Felipe Pueblo, talking about prior and paramount rights in New Mexico. And then we'll switch gears from Richardson Hall and move folks over to the Student Union Building, what we often refer to as the sub at Adams State. And that's where we'll have a lunch, and David Robbins will give his keynote on the historical water grab schemes in the Upper Rio Grande Basin, particularly focused around AWDI and also more recent stories related to RWR. And I should note that this event is entirely free and open to the public. We do encourage folks to RSVP, and so if you go online, you can easily find the Salazar Rio Grande del Norte Center on our website. We do have a link to the RSVP. There are also some posters around town with a QR code, so folks can RSVP through their phone. So a few ways to do that. But we look forward to seeing everybody.
Adams.edu, you'll find a lot of information, all the information, Adams.edu. It's an easy website to navigate to find everything there. Let me ask you this, Maya. 6 years in this symposium now, why do you think it's important to continue this type of symposium year after year through Adams State and through the Salazar Center at Adams State?
It's a way to connect people within the basin, which is very crucial. And this basin is very unique. I don't think when you look through literature and through class materials for teaching Water 101, which is titled How Water Works in the West, mm-hmm. I can find tons of information on the Colorado River. But the Rio Grande is very unique. And so I think this is an opportunity for the basin itself to come together and be very educational, of course, which is what Adams State is all about.
And what about for you, Nick? I know you've been involved in helping put these together in the past. You're getting more involved through your administrative duties over at Adams State. You're a historian. We've had you in here several times really explaining the text, the New Mexico, San Luis Valley, corridor to us, and giving us all that perspective. What is it about this symposium that you find interesting to continue it on year after year at Adams State?
Yeah, well, I think the role of a good university is to share its knowledge with the world, right? And I think particularly the role that Adams State has in the context of the San Luis Valley is to really serve the community in the valley and its interests. And what is more tied to the valley than water? And so being able to convene events like this to showcase all of the work that's going on, scholarly, non-scholarly, around water in the Rio Grande really is something that A, Adams State ought to be doing, and B, do it well. And so I'm really happy to see that this symposium has offered us a vehicle to do that, and hopefully we'll be able to do it for many years to come. I think that's been a really nice program, really at a social level as well, one of these opportunities to bring everybody together, kind of renew those bonds, so when we do confront new threats to the valley, everybody is in a place to confront them together.
Yeah, you know, I've been to this event several times since it started, and it always draws a good crowd. And you do see a community in that Richardson Hall auditorium when this symposium happens, because there is a water community out there. But what I really appreciate about this year's symposium, Maya and Nick, and that is how you're also addressing the communities along the Rio Grande. You're not just looking at the water that flows through the Rio Grande. You're also now starting to say, how are the communities? How are the people? How are the irrigators? How are the tribes doing? How are we all surviving as we see this river? Powerful, powerful.
Well, water connects all of us, right? Water is life, and which is what the Salazar Center saying is agua es vida.
Yeah. Well, I would just kudos to both of you for the agenda you put together. I would encourage people to attend, and I'm planning to be there after looking at this agenda. There's things you just cannot miss, don't want to miss. So I really appreciate it. One last plug, Maya.
I was wondering if there's remote access.
Yeah. There will also be the option for folks to Zoom in. So, and that information is online as well.
Okay, thank you for saying that. But I'm going to be there in person. I don't want to miss it because there's some really good conversations. I want to hear David Robbins talk about that Rio Grande Compact and those oral arguments that are coming up on March 20th. But I also want to see the film. I also want to understand more about the acequias. I also want to talk to Otacelli Chop. I think she'd be great to talk to. Mm-hmm. So there's just so much there that I want to personally enjoy and take in and soak in on March 30th when Adams State hosts the 6th Annual Rio Grande State of the Basin Symposium. Thanks for coming in and sharing with us.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Chris. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been cool. Hey, you've been listening to The Valley Pod in our episode with Nick Sines and Maya Turkile Miller. They put together an awesome Rio Grande State of the Basin Symposium on March 30th. You don't want to miss it. The Valley Pod is produced by Owen Woods and is part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. We'll see you around the valley.